Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 277, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, March 1st, 2023. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. How many pants must we exchange? With thighs larger than a mountain range, where were you when we were showing thigh? COVID vaccine, it grew my balls larger than a cannonball. We'll allow it. Where were you while we were showing thigh? Someday you will find me watching Teletubbies, drinking Mountain Dew Slurpees until I die. That is courtesy of Lacaroni on the Discord. Ooh, thank you very much.
Baby.
Cramming a lot in there. We love it. Yeah. Just like my pants, which have thighs as big as mountain ranges. Cramming a lot in. Cramming. We appreciate it. And I'm thrilled to be joined by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore, an Emmy-nominated writer, artist, comedian, behind many acclaimed podcasts, the author of the upcoming New York Times bestseller, Raw Dog. She's here all week, folks. It's Jamie Loftus!
Just a Jamie girl, living in a Zamboni world. She took the Minion train going anywhere. Yes. Just a hot dog boy, born and raised just south of Brockton. He took the Minion train going anywhere.
I'm going to actually go into a third verse because it's the best one.
Do it.
A singer in a smoky room. Darna. A smell of hot dog beef perfume.
Oh, God.
Bar is hot like a chef at night. It goes on and
the hot dog beef perfume one.
Hot
is
dog
just
beef
iconic.
Perfume. Yes. Oh, my God.
That's from at Russell Housefield. Thanks, Russell. That truly like got me out of bed this morning.
Are you wearing hot dog beef perfume? That's
oh, you know it.
Lovely. What a lovely scent.
The tie-in.
Well, Jamie, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of our favorites, one of your favorites, a stand-up comedian, writer, producer, podcaster, who you know from Lady to Lady. She's performed everywhere from a basement in Whitesburg, Kentucky, to the stages of the Kennedy Center. It's Brandi Posner!
Hey! Brandi, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. I'll just sing the actual song from
Shatner
my name.
Style.
Nobody wrote one for me. That's fine.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Shatner style, just like real meaningful. Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Yeah.
What a good wife you would be.
I'm a filthy sailor and I like me boat more than you. And you'll deal with it because most men are bad.
What a time the 70s were where you could just have like a weird little sea shanty song.
I know.
That was like a pop
charted.
Hit. Yeah, really
big
good.
Charts.
Yeah.
Charted? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Looking Glass. Brandy by Looking Glass is a pretty big deal. Big song.
Yeah.
They're a one-hit wonder, but and I've listened to the rest of Looking Glass's albums to be like, is there anything else here? And the answer is no.
Any other gems? Are all of their songs like about a forgotten time of people like living in sea villages? And,
it
like,
feels
fishermen?
Like it. Yeah. I wish it had been more of a concept album, but no, I think it was just lewds. Is what was happening at the time.
Right. Yeah. I never did lewds. I think lewds were like gone by the time I was doing drugs. But like, is that the explanation for the 70s? And like the, because like there was also like a bunch of Led Zeppelin albums around that same time that were like taking place in like pagan times.
Yes.
Partially. I'm just wondering, like, was there something about lewds and just like mentally existing in a different time?
I think probably. I don't fully know what a lewd did. Is it an upper or a downer or
a way downer?
A way downer.
Yeah.
It's the one I only know it from Wolf of Wall Street where he can't stand up.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, that's like the best scene in the whole movie. I used to have like a whole what I learned about Quaaludes when I used to be creating a really vast background story to my dog.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in some villains for him called the Lewd Dudes.
Aww.
The Lewd Dudes were always after him because he had a capsule full of lewds in his backyard and the Lewd Dudes were jonesing for it. But they're downers. So if the Lewd Dudes are operating at full capacity, you know, they're moving pretty slow. They're not very viable opponents.
Yeah, just the easiest people to evade. Like they take zombies and they're like, slow zombies, too fast. We need to slow that down a little bit. Put that on extra easy.
Nice.
A drug time capsule is a interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess not all drugs would hold up very well, but at least lewds, I think, were pharmaceutical, right?
I think that they had a pretty good shelf life and even I feel like if you want lewds bad enough you'd be willing to take a chance of having a sour lewd or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we're talking about today is lewd theory. No, Brandy, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about today. There is something going around called the 15-minute city conspiracy theory. I mean, it's just the 15-minute city is an idea. And then it is being turned into a conspiracy theory on the right. And I just want to talk about how great this idea could be and just how dumb the response is from the internet. Bad job, internet.
Yeah.
Do better. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court student loan hearing. Maybe. I don't know. I don't understand any of this shit. I feel like generally Supreme Court stuff is like people just like talking themselves down a weird like rabbit hole of like linguistic reasoning that doesn't totally like there's this thing called the major questions doctrine that is like this whole thing is now hinging on. And it's the Supreme Court being like, if it's a big enough deal, we don't have to listen to anyone is essentially the idea. But they have like somehow given it like legal precedent. So I don't know. Well, we might talk about that. We'll see how we feel. There is a new Peter Pan live action movie, and it is the first of these animated live action Disney remakes that I'm actually kind of interested in. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Chris Rock doing a live special on Netflix because Netflix is just fully becoming. They're like, what about live television? Hear us out here.
I thought for a second you were saying Chris Rock was Peter Pan and I was like intrigued by that version.
I know. It would be intriguing. Yeah. We might get to Mark Wahlberg. Like, it seems like everyone just remembered that Mark Wahlberg is a piece of shit all at once. So we might even talk about that.
And we're entering the Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge, otherwise known as Lent. He went on the Today Show and the lower third during a segment in which he was absolutely talking about Lent was labeled the Mark Wahlberg 40 day challenge. And I fucking amazing. Hate Mark Wahlberg. And that's the greatest awful. Thing I've ever heard.
That's so great. It did. Is he branding it as such? Because he is like America's top Catholic. Like, amazingly, when the Pope came to Philadelphia, they were like, Mark Wahlberg should introduce the Pope. And he did. That's who America came up with.
What a fucking, he's such a horrible person. Yeah. And yet his rebrand of Lent. I thought it was pretty, pretty powerful.
Mm. Is it any specifics, or he's just like, you gotta not eat meat on Fridays or whatever?
I honestly didn't watch the full segment. What? I don't like hearing him talk, Jack. I don't like what he has to say. Like that he wakes up at 3 a.m. It just seems like exactly as unhinged as you would think. But the culture has chosen to love him anyways. Yeah. Which
and
is
now
very...
I start waking up at 2:30 a.m. just to make sure that I'm awake when Mark Wahlberg wakes up, so he doesn't have one over on me.
Well, yeah, because you want to be Ted's favorite friend.
Always.
Of course. Yeah. I did Google Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge and just a picture of him with the Black Friday Ash Wednesday.
He's got the ashes on his head.
It's been a minute since I've done any of that shit. I was like, wait, which one is it?
Well, I do the ashes on my head for Black Friday.
Yeah, me
personally.
Too.
Personally, yeah. Just to get ready. It's my war paint.
Well, it confuses people just enough that you can slip in for that TV deal. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, they're like, wait, what time of year is it? But he looks just annoyed in a black cross on his forehead. It's great.
Idiot. He always looks annoyed, exasperated.
Just his resting face.
Yeah. All right. So all of that, some of that, maybe, I don't know, maybe more. But first, Brandy, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I mean, within the last 5 minutes, I have Googled Quaaludes and Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. But before that, so it's been raining in Los Angeles. And as I was stuck at home, like in the background, just as white noise, I put on the bald eagle cams that are happening in Big Bear currently.
Oh.
So as I've just been watching them for several days, I've just been Googling bald eagle facts because here's the thing. I want to relate all of my underrated, overrated. All of it is about the Eagles. I just need to put it all out there because here's the thing. These Eagles, they're doing it. They're amazing. They're very great birds. They're getting pelted with snow up there and overrated comment sections because I do not need people telling these Eagles how to eagle like they know any better, which is why I went out of my way to like Google a bunch of eagle facts because there's people that are like, these two eagles are laying on two eggs, trying to hatch them. And everyone thinks if they go to get a fish that their eggs are freezing and they're going to die and are telling these eagles that they don't know how to be eagles.
There's people in the comment section being like, these eagles suck at sitting on eggs.
It sounds wild. Like relationship TikTok, like right. or any parenting video I've ever seen where they're like, nope, there's no way, wouldn't be me, or like, you don't love your husband. They're bullying the eagles who could possibly receive their feedback.
Yes, they're putting it all on the eagles, and there are people. So the eagles' names are Jackie and Shadow, there's two very different vibed names. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely two different people got to name those.
Yeah, exactly. But
Jackie.
Is Jackie
the male ego or is eagle or
She is the lady. Jackie is the lady. Okay.
Shadow. Oh, that's like a normie girl that marries a goth.
I know.
This is my husband, Shadow. No,
exactly. And here's the thing. Like Jackie will be on the nest for like hours on end and then she will get hungry and go get a fish and then everyone will yell at her. But then Shadow will come in and he will sit on the eggs for like 5 minutes and everyone's like, oh my God, what a great husband. He's the best bird. Oh. And people are putting so much onto these eagles. And I'm like, they're eagles. They know what to do. Leave them alone. This is not a gendered thing. This is not, I'm sorry, your husband left you. That is not Shadow's problem. I'm sorry. Right. Shadow is paying his alimony. I'm sorry he's not fucking the waitress down the street instead. Like, I don't know. wild.
I love the idea of anyone of any gender watching this dynamic and being like, why can't my spouse be more like Shadow, like the eagle?
That's fully what is happening online. It's amazing. There's a woman named Sandy that is writing like daily updates on these eagles. And like a couple days ago, she had to be like, you know, the negativity in the comments is not helping the eagles. They know how to eagle better than us. It is our job just to observe what's happening.
Fuck yeah, Sandy.
Yes. So
good for her.
Yeah.
She's like, and also Shadow loves me. And
Shadow's an incredible lover, and you couldn't possibly understand.
You couldn't possibly understand him. That's
exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. Truly insane. So
that
everyone
is
tune
so
in. It's wild. I did not think it was going to get this deep, and I've just been watching people just have brain worms about eagles that are just being beautiful and just making hatching eggs. That's fine. Mm. These eggs don't hatch. They're going to cancel the eagles. That's
right.
Yeah. Well, maybe if they had been eagling a little bit different, that wouldn't be happening. Oh, God. I am going to watch this. Hearing stuff like this always scares me because I'm like, ooh, if a couple things go wrong in my life, I could be that commenter. You know, like, of course.
I thought you were going to say you could be that eagle just like on a live video feed parenting.
Yeah. If I choose the wrong potion when the witch shows up at my house, that could be me. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
What is something you think is underrated?
Oh, I mean, just like Sandy's, she's just not getting the due that she deserves, I think. Paying it to
Sandy,
like just, Sandy's recaps. Sandy's Eagle recaps deserve more than they're getting because they don't have a comment section. I think people are just only are interested in parts of the internet where their voices can be heard and not... just reading and learning. Because here's the thing. At first, like this eagle, Jackie was sitting on the nest and she was getting pelted with snow. And I was like, oh, God, is she in trouble? And then I Googled and I saw that actually eagles have several layers of feathers that keep them extremely warm. And their basic body temperature is 105 degrees. And they thrive in snow. And I was like, oh, okay, so she's fine. As opposed to being like, somebody help her! just Google a fact once. Underrated facts.
Why won't somebody do something?
I know.
Oh, evolution did, it turns out. Yeah. They always seem to be in fairly inhospitable territory. Like, they're like on mountains and shit.
Yeah, they live in Alaska and stuff. They're fine in Big Bear.
Right.
Yeah.
But
chilling.
It's all these, it's just all LA people being like, that looks so cold. It was 50 here the other day, so I can identify.
I know. Yes, she doesn't have a fashion scarf. What will she do? Mm. Like,
what if the eagle was wearing an infinity scarf? Maybe if she had done that, the eggs would have hatched a little bit faster. Yeah,
exactly.
I do have to give a shout out to the name Shadow, because there was a DJ named Shadow Stevens when I was young who did like, he was like adult contemporary Casey Kasem. And that name always stuck with me as like very over the top, but like kind of dope, like just Shadow Stevens.
Shadow.
And so I'm going to go ahead and say Shadow is an underrated name to give your eagle or child.
Or your DJ.
Or your DJ, yeah.
I think it's an overrated name for a dog.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
There's a lot of dogs named Shadow.
Yes. Yeah.
But what about a son? And that is a powerful.
I would like to meet more Shadows than Brashtons going forward. So if people can, you know, fix that.
Did you really hear the name Brashton?
Yeah,
in the wild,
yelled at a kid in a subway like 4 years
Brashton.
Ago. And I was like, Brashton? You couldn't decide between Brandon and Ashton? Just we don't need mashup names. Overrated mashup names. Just pick one. Stick to your decision. Trust yourself. You're making an indecisive child from the start.
Brashton is a very strong decision. That's just like you are like they need to be a snowboarder or a professional surfer or nothing. That's it. Yeah.
There are certain names where you're just like, well, their fate is sealed, I guess.
I guess Shadow would be one of those as well. So maybe I should shut the fuck up on telling people to name their kids Shadow.
So is like Merlin. Like there's...
Merlin.
Man.
You can't just name someone Merlin. They have to be a music teacher or live in the woods.
A baby named Merlin is really wild.
I honestly
baby Merlin.
I don't hate that idea, but it is a very kind of a scary thing to do to a child.
Yeah.
But then they just go with Merle to like kind of whatever their parents don't want them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the 15-minute city and other stuff.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And yeah, so you may have noticed online, if you're terminally online, that there's been a lot of talk about the 15-minute city concept lately, which it's just a like urban planning term, but according to the internet, it is a dystopian plot to enslave the masses. The idea is pretty hard to argue with. It's that people should be within a roughly 15-minute walk or bike ride from the things they need, like food, schooling, and healthcare. That way, people aren't forced to drive everywhere and further destroy the planet. It's an idea that's like been popular in urban planning circles for a long time. It's become a key part of some countries' political policies. Like in Paris, they have a mayoral candidate who based her 2020 re-election campaign on a plan to create 15-minute cities. But some people are responding to this by claiming that it will create like sci-fi districts where people will be fined for leaving. And it's just like they've just resorted to fiction to make it like kind of scary, which I think is because this is like a powerful idea, and it's also very non-profitable or like goes against the grain of like the modern kind of capitalist ethos where, yeah, you know, right, you just like organize things based on whatever's going to make the most money. But I think that like if we keep pushing with this idea, it will become enormously popular because like just think about like all my favorite like parts of dystopian movies. They really come back to, and I've said this before, but like it's really a fantasy about having a walkable city. Like that's what dystopian movies are about. It's like, man, like all the most like iconic scenes from I Am Legend, the ones that I remember are not like the zombie ones. They are him playing golf, like walking down the middle of the street in Times Square and like a deer like running by him, or like The Walking Dead, like the most iconic image is them like walking into a city on an abandoned highway and like just there being no cars. And I just think our imagination like craves a world without traffic and cars more than people realize.
Mm. And just like how much this would, I don't know, like just make service. I mean, I guess it doesn't really resolve making these like services more affordable for people, but like walkable cities just... And having access to things nearby is like, access is such a huge issue. It's so, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised that the backlash is coming from where it's coming from and is being like put in that way. But it's just so like, I don't know, anytime a simple, useful concept like this that would also just be like lovely too is argued against. It feels like there's so much internal contradiction, because like I think like a lot of like super capitalists are always like, oh, we need to return to something, which this would be to like fucking villages and like
exactly
communities, but they're like, well, not that kind of return. The like things should still be far away, and like, you know, poor neighborhoods shouldn't have access to basic things and blah, 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 blah.
It's so wild because like, so I live in like Eagle Rock here in Los Angeles, and like my town like is a little walkable city. I rarely leave. I can walk to anything or ride my bike to basically anything I need.
Because you got a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Oh, I can get to that. It's less than a mile from me. I got a Chuck E. Cheese less than a mile. That's the dream. That's the American dream for that everybody.
Is it the Burbank Chuck E. Cheese that's right by the Kmart?
Oh, no, the one in Eagle Rock that's next to the Target and next to the fish market. Got it. It's great. But like it's amazing too, because everybody is like very like involved and like wanting all these businesses to thrive. We all know the people that work there. Like I'm like friends with my neighbors. Like I feel like I have an actual community, and like other parts of the city I've lived in, I haven't had that. And it's like it's great. There's nothing wrong with this. It's the way that you should be. It's live locally. I went over to Silver Lake last night for the first time in like months, because I was like, oh, I guess I could go eat somewhere else. Why not?
Right. And so what have you done now that they like put a tracking bracelet on you and don't let you leave your district? Because that's what
I mean, that is what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Clearly. But so extremists have misinterpreted the idea. The plan merely gives people the freedom to live locally, does not force them to do so. But Jamie, it's a really good point about like returning to something. Because that does seem to be the thing that the right always wants to do, but it's like a very specific period that didn't actually really exist. But like it's in their mind, it's like how the 1950s and early 1960s were,
right?
With like a bunch of houses that look the same and everybody driving to work like in
everyone had
cool
a transatlantic
cars.
Accent, like that never happened.
But like at the beginning of the 20th century, like cars were this novelty that only rich people could afford, and they were wildly unpopular because people were like, you keep running over our kids, rich people, like you're just driving way too fast. So like there were all these pushes by cities to make it illegal to make cars that went over like 20 miles per hour, and the politicians and car companies conspired to like cram this poison pill into our world. And now we have this like world that is completely like gridded off by, you know, cars and streets. And like, we just like, you know, my kids can't play outside of the house without me worrying they're going to get run over by a car. Like we're prisoners like on our own blocks because we're hemmed in by roads. And I think it like weighs on us like metaphysically more than we realize, because we just don't, we just want to be able to like run free, you know?
For sure. For sure. Well, and it's wild too, because it's like so many, like when you drive through like small town America and stuff, like most small towns have a main street where everything is.
Right.
And like, you know, you can drive or, you know, to there and then walk and do whatever you need to, even if it's a kind of a big area. Like it's extremely stupid to have a problem with this.
Right. I mean, the only specific question, I would have like more specific questions about like how this would look and like how I don't know. I mean, I understand why there's questions about it, but this angle of like interrogating it is so disingenuous, where I would be more afraid of like a Rick Caruso kind of solution, where it's like, right, well, every neighborhood is a very specialized mall now, and like only certain people are allowed access to it. But it's like the idea that as it's being presented, it's not specific enough to even like, I mean, those are just like questions I would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's like you still want your mom and pops. I think maybe there's something to people like not being like, how dare you take the choice of going to all these different places away from me. And it's like, no one's doing that. They just want some to be a lot easier to get to. And then maybe that's just the one you go to. It's nice to be a local at a place.
Right.
Are you guys like, do you have like a cashier anywhere that like is like, hey, how you doing? Or like recognizes you guys? It's the best.
Yeah,
I got to introduce my friends to my bodega guy this week, and it rocked.
Yeah.
He was really gassing me up. I wasn't expecting it. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
See, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure, there are legitimate concerns with like any implementation of this, especially like if it's just being done unregulated by American capitalism, that inequality is going to become a big part of it, and it will be very bad for poor areas, like with anything. But
of course,
the current situation is already bad for poor areas. And I don't know, there was like this moment during the pandemic where New York City was like, maybe we should just not have cars because it's like really nice in Manhattan when like there aren't cars and like all these streets are walkable. And I'm sure there was some massive concerted effort by the, you know, local commerce, like whatever, to push back on that. But it just feels like, I don't know. I think people want this more than we realize. Like if there was just like a no car, like a big sprawling no car like neighborhood in the middle of any city, like it would become like such a fun place to like be a part of. Like any cities where there's like just walk streets, like those become so much better than like places you want to be, more than just strodes, like street road combinations that are just
strode,
like
strodes.
That's an actual like urban planning term where they
that rocks.
Like, yeah, okay, well, Roman it's like a massive me and Roman were. What was Roman saying? He was saying the funniest thing the other day. No, it's this idea that like American cities like have these thing like practically. Like this should be a street, like just given where it is that there are houses along it, but they turn it into a road or vice versa. I forget like which is which, but like one is like, you know, with speed limits like above 50 miles per hour and traffic lights and complicated like multiple lanes and shit like that. And they just like kind of crammed those in where they don't belong. And
every part of the valley is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
People go 70 miles an hour in a residential area constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just like no reason that this shouldn't be a conversation that people are open to. I feel like obviously there are like plenty of like red flags of like how would this be implemented to like best serve everybody, but it's like you've got fucking Jordan Peterson like against this as like a concept or whatever. I don't know, it's not
that is who popularized the panic. He tweeted about the tyrannical 15-minute city and it soon became like this thing.
I think the people that have problems with it are the ones whose bodega guys don't like them. I think if your local people are like, and they're not like they don't want to deal with you on a regular basis, then I think you having to deal with that same person and maybe have to like change your behavior and be slightly more agreeable is extremely offensive to you. Yeah. So
disliked in their own communities, don't want more accessible communities. People right. start yes. throwing tomatoes at them.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
Right. Yes. We will be bringing back the stockades, unfortunately, and we'll just be throwing tomatoes at Jordan Peterson for 45 minutes a day. That will be his job.
Mm-hmm. I would love that. Let's get that okay. store, the Americana, open.
Our writer, JM, was researching this, and he said this is how he found out that he unfortunately lives very close to Jordan Peterson, and also Jordan Peterson lives 15 minutes away from anything he'd ever need, like a 15-minute walk away from anything he'd ever need. So
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he hasn't tipped anybody in like 15 years, so everybody gives him bad right. service.
Yeah.
So it's like, well... What do you expect?
Of course.
just, I don't know. Just go back to letting your daughter feed you meat. Like,
yeah.
Feed you meat. And, well, it wasn't Quaaludes, but it was something else that put him
meat
in a coma.
Meat and Ludes. The meat best and Ludes, way to baby. Start the day, baby.
The 70s. And Virginia Slims. The three major food groups of the 1970s.
And meat, a gallon Ludes. Of milk.
That's right.
What are you, my dad?
He was on benzos, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not your dad, Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. No.
The conspiratorial panic over this theory is manifesting in the real world in Oxfordshire in the UK, where they were like planning to filter traffic down to be like make their city more livable, led mm-hmm. to a bunch of discussion. There's a large protest and like a lot of people showed up being like, no 15-minute neighborhoods, like with signs saying, oh, no 15-minute neighborhoods.
How long did it take them to get there?
Yeah.
And then in Toronto, a McMansion developer, an anti-lockdown person, is running for mayor and claiming that the 15-minute city idea is part of a larger conspiracy by a global elite to limit personal freedom. Again, this... All like, I'm just wanting us to go back to a time when people were like, hey, rich people, stop running over our kids. Like, yeah. When yeah. that was common sense. That like,
now that's a
cool.
strictly ideological.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you tell me what to do?
And also, he's a real estate developer, that guy. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he is. Course. Yeah.
That's so depressing.
Supreme Court. What do we think? Fans, thumbs up or thumbs down? The Supreme Court, we love them, don't we, folks?
They have awesome merch.
Yeah.
Did you say awesome merch?
Yeah. I was the last time I was in Portland, I went to the Girl Boss store. I don't remember what it was called. And they got a whole shelf of RBG merch. You know.
Wee.
Yeah. Great.
My
great.
Favorite
I think
brand.
It's great. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we should abolish it. But what hijinks are they up to today?
Well, they're deciding whether the government is allowed to forgive student loan debt or, you know, forgive a portion of student loan debt as Joe Biden was hoping to do. And so there are two cases that they're looking at. One was brought by two private citizens who are arguing that the administration unfairly excluded some, including those who have commercially held loans from debt cancellation. So mm-hmm. be good. Yeah. Like that's, and yeah. also that the administration pushed it through without allowing for a period of public comment. Yes. Good.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's fair.
Yes. Let's talk about that. The other challenge is from six Republican-led states, Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, and South Carolina, claiming that the Department of Education doesn't have the authority to cancel student loan debt. And so, I mean, people who understand legal stuff are like, it doesn't, like, it should be a question of, like, how this is harming them. Like, that's supposed to be sure. the first question that gets asked is, like, okay, you're bringing this case. How is this affecting you? But instead, because we have this super conservative Supreme Court, it's fallen under the major questions doctrine, which is just a legal doctrine invented by Republicans that allows the court to tighten its leash on government agencies in matters of, quote, critical political and economic significance. So basically, the court no longer defers to the government if it has a major question.
That sounds like a lazy, like, bad B Marvel movie point. Right. The major questions doctrine. Yes. You're like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think Marvel would have workshopped it even. I guess yeah. Golden Age Marvel would have workshopped it a little bit more. Maybe
let's punch that
days.
Up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've already used the major questions doctrine to strike down at least three Biden administration policies that the Republican Party opposes. And it was a key part of the brief written by Republican states challenging the program. And so far during the hearings, it's been invoked repeatedly by conservative justices like John Roberts, who likened Biden's student loan cancellation to Trump's plan to deport the Dreamers. Again, yeah. Like where who's being harmed wow. here? Is it? Mm-hmm. But like, I would at least like to hear them say who they think is being harmed, because it's like,
yeah,
rich people who like are getting the interest payments, I guess.
Loan
right?
sharks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's the corporations who like have the bundled loan mm-hmm. debt, you know, and like bought mm-hmm. it for billions of dollars 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, that they've probably already made at this point with like with the interest. It's all just been fake money that they've just like been pulling from people anyway. If yeah. I was friends with any of these paralegals, because they so Supreme Court justices, they've got a team that works around them, which means they have some relatively young people that work near them. And if you know anybody that knows anybody that is friends with the paralegal, how about we blackmail them to blackmail the Supreme Court justices to push this through, and maybe everything else too, but I think this is a way in, because like now they're messing with your money.
Yeah,
right.
That's my theory. Like I think it's we just need to like there's bad photos of these people out there. Let's get them.
Get them.
Let's get them. Like
the young people who work for Brett Kavanaugh are probably the worst, most boring, but yeah, they probably do have like weird,
but somebody knows them,
yeah,
and has a bad photo of them. This is it's all a pyramid scheme to get to taking down the Supreme Court.
There are definitely photographs of them holding a leash that has a human at the other end, I'm
yes,
sure,
like exactly.
from some frat hazing or something.
Yeah, let's get those photos.
Yeah.
God, who knows what, yeah, what. What the Kavanaugh employees are sitting on. Yeah. It's so, it's like, I mean, obviously this is extremely frustrating from a student perspective too, but it's just like a continued, my younger brother has a ton of student debt and is like, not only, you know, frustrated to see this conversation like start and stop in so many ways, mm-hmm. but it becomes like a whole second job to have to like try to figure out what the fuck is going on, what you qualify for versus what you don't. Cause like when, I don't know, like we've all had student loans. When you're getting student loans, you're not really, I mean, in the same way that like you're not really taught how to do your taxes or other shit where you're getting mm-hmm. completely fucked. And it's in, like just not understanding how it works. With student loans, it's like, I had no idea what the difference between a private and a public, like I was just like, these are yeah. what they're offering me, and I'm supposed
I'll
to go
them.
To school, or like that's what it, what I, that's a whole separate issue. But it's so like it's so frustrating to see like students and people, you know, who are way beyond student age, yeah. who are still sort of like hampered by these loans, trying to figure out what they even fucking qualify for. I mean, it's and unfortunately, I mean, like the Biden administration does seem like they're making an honest effort to like push this through. It's just, it's nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, I remember being 18 in college and I signed up for a credit card because they gave me a t-shirt that said the price is wrong, bitch. And it messed up my credit for years, but yeah. I wanted that t-shirt. You know, like that person should not be, I should
what?
Be affected for years. Yeah, there's like people outside, like, just outside walking around colleges signing kids up for credit cards, and you got like
gorgeous.
A funny t-shirt if you signed up for it, and it was like, oh, I'm all, this is that's the same way you basically are picking student loans. That's the amount of thought that's really going into it. Like,
is this how Busted Tees was profitable for so long? They were like tied to a major credit card corporation.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This is wrong, bitch. Yeah.
I wish I still had it, and that shirt cost me a lot.
And then they put you in a situation where the price was wrong, bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
It was. Yeah.
That became
they
your
told
life.
You what they were about yeah. to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just more profitable for them to make our day-to-day lives as confusing as possible. Like the fact that we have the tax paying like mess that we have, and like every other country is just like, we just send you a bill, like, and then you pay it, and if you have questions you can ask them, but like you don't have to do the bureaucratic work that is required to like pay taxes in our country, like that. That's kind of crazy. That's our job. Like, it's
It's just I don't understand like what the timeline on it. It looks like this is just sort of kicking the ball further down the field sort of yet again on this issue.
Yeah.
But it's so like it's like a lot of, I guess, like right-leaning legislation and like centrist legislation as well. It just is so short-sighted.
Yeah.
To, you know, because it's like sometimes I do feel like the American government and definitely the Supreme Court truly does act like there's only like 11 more habitable years on Earth. And that's why they would make these decisions, because it's like, well, if on a long enough timeline, then it's like you're actively discouraging the public to get more education. Like, and they're
ding,
obviously like, you're just trying to make... You want a whole country of goofs, and then and then, you know, constantly complain that your country's falling behind in whatever. It's all so contradictory and ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and then he put it on the person instead of like any institutions, and it's like you know, you're shamed for not doing the work or
you
not
should have
getting
gone to
more
school.
Yeah,
it benefits them to keep education as restricted to only their wealthy children as possible. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's what they are in it for. And then anything like this also is like a wealth transfer from like the dying like baby boomer generation who like still run Fortune 500 companies and major banks to young people. And they've shown that like their strategy is keep all the money and decision making
as long as possible.
Their whole, you know, infrastructure that they've built for making money is contingent on fucking us over and destroying the earth that we're all going to have to live on. So.
Well, see, and baby boomers and their parents like benefited so significantly from better public education options and like and from more accessible, you know, college options that were affordable. Well, you know, burn the Supreme Court down.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Literally or figuratively. At this point, I don't really care. Get rid of it. It's got to go.
Not worried about it.
Yeah.
Brett Kavanaugh compared Biden's plan to help people plagued by crippling debt to Truman sending troops into Korea and Bush's post 9/11 abuses of power, which, by the way, he must have been on board with. Like, I just...
Yeah.
But yeah. Those are the same thing.
Love to hear what the old rapist is thinking.
He's truly like that. We talked about the story a while back that there is like baby powder. Johnson & Johnson baby powder was giving people cancer the whole time because it contained talcum powder. And the reason they were able to keep doing that and evade any like sanctions or, you know, attention of the EPA and, you know, consumer protection services is because they were spending millions and millions of dollars. They were paying this one lobbyist $4.5 million a year in or something really crazy like that a year in the 1970s. And that lobbyist was Brett Kavanaugh's dad. So like,
wow.
It's just it goes deep. Like it is a generational like cancer on this country that is just like,
disgusting.
Yeah, the worst.
Woohoo!
The worst. Yay! Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about something less serious.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it,
T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back, and we talked on trending, I guess it was yesterday or 2 days ago, about how there's new character images for The Little Mermaid, and I have some grave concerns about what this how this movie is going to work when it comes to the undersea creatures you know, the original movie relies on to be adorable and, you know, something that fans empathize with. And they released like the fan art of Sebastian the crab, and it is a crab. It is just a crab. It is just a scary crab with like eyes on the end of a stalk and like no mouth. And
oh, no.
I mean, like, you would think that they would have like learned from the Lion King reboot that like actual photorealistic animals don't emote in a way that people
Thank
can
you.
Recognize.
Yeah.
Like, no. It just doesn't. It's against nature to do.
Jamie, that movie is one of the 10 most profitable movies of all time.
But that doesn't mean that it was because of that.
I know, but they did not learn that lesson from that movie, even though, yes, that was my entire experience is like... Like, nature documentaries are much better at making me give a fuck about, like, an animal's welfare than this, where it's just, like, you have to keep the thing's head still so that we can see its lips moving along with the words. And, you know, it just really didn't work. And I feel like undersea creatures, and particularly crabs, are, like, very poorly suited for my ability, at least, to be like, I fuck with that, what that character is saying.
Like, I've never known anyone to have a pet crab. Like, it's not like hermit crabs, but like,
hermit
it's like
crabs.
No one's ever had like a blue crab as a pet. They're scavengers of the sea.
It's just a bug.
Yeah, it's a bug.
I feel bad because it's like, you know, I love Halle Bailey. I'm like, but it's like, there's no way this movie is going to be. It's going to suck. And then everyone's going to say that it sucks because they're racist and not because these movies suck.
Yeah.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy looks like she's in iParty costumes. I also don't understand like how these movies look so cheap because they cost so much money to make. They're so dark. I don't know. I did think it was funny that James Cameron, I think he said like in an interview, because he's just like the meanest person. He's the biggest bitch in the world.
Yeah,
like he's just like, it looks like shit. He's like, you want to see real underwaters? Come see teen Sigourney Weaver in my perverted little movie, which I did. And
what did you think of that, by the way? I know you are an Avatar fan.
I guess. I mean,
devotee.
I couldn't tell you three things that happened in that movie now. I know that a lot of it really bothered me. And then I know that whole sections made me cry. I don't know. The highs were high. The lows were abysmal.
Yes.
Not enough Zoe Saldana, but also not enough that big turtle whale that only spoke in papyrus.
Yes.
That was really cool.
There was a lot of really cool shit.
When the turtle whale said, I can't talk about it, it's too painful, I was laughing, I was crying. That was cinema to me. Yeah. But also, a white kid with dreads named Spider, didn't love that. It was the same villain as the first movie, didn't love that.
But his performance was so captivating. No, I'm not going to be mean to a child actor. No Razzies takes here. I'm not going to be mean.
But yeah, James Cameron, I think, did say that he saw the trailer to The New Little Mermaid and that the underwater photography looked like shit.
I love how catty he is. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's our hipster.
Yeah.
Insane. So they have one coming. They like even usually they kind of do these, knock these out one at a time. But they've also just released the official trailer for Peter Pan and Wendy, which is the studio's latest live-action adaptation. And it's, you know, I was immediately like, I don't want to see this. Why the fuck does this exist? But it's made by the guy who made The Green Knight. Did you guys see The Green Knight?
Wait, that's wild
that he's doing a Disney project. What?
It's so fucking weird.
Okay, wait, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like The Green Knight is this like strange, like meditative, like weird, like acid trip of a like movie. It like doesn't make any sense.
Oh yeah,
it's, like,
definitely a child director. Perfect, great.
Yeah, and he's weird. He pitched it to Disney as The Revenant with flying kids.
What?
And also cited The Lighthouse as an inspiration.
Well, he also directed that weird, I thought pretty good, Pete's Dragon live action remake. So he has done Disney stuff before. David Lowery, right?
Hmm.
He did like I saw it when it came out. I feel like this was right before, this was like pre Beauty and the Beast. So I feel like it was before they were like, this is all we're going to do now. I don't think it was very successful, but he made like kind of a weird Pete's Dragon reboot that I remember liking. But The Green Knight, I mean, that movie fucking rips. And
yeah,
Death
it Patel really
is
does.
So sexy.
Yeah.
It's great.
There's a scene where they're just like walking through the woods and like, then they're like a bunch of giant humans. Mm-hmm. Just start like walking through, and it's truly, yeah, I don't know. It's a bizarre kind of trippy movie that there's no way Disney's going to let him do anything that cool with this. But
of course,
that detail, like I was ready to just count this out. And then, directed by David Lowery and The Revenant with flying kids. The Revenant's not my favorite movie, but like that juxtaposition, like bringing The Revenant into a Peter Pan movie and The Lighthouse, which is fucking perverted as hell.
I'm excited. Just, well, yeah, I'm just excited. I hope Willem Dafoe is also in this movie yelling, "Stop! Check it off!" I hope that's constantly happening in this movie as well.
Jude Law's playing Captain Hook. Jim Gaffigan's playing Mr. Smee. This is going to be weird.
This is going to be a mess. What a mess.
Oh,
By the way, Willem Dafoe just repeatedly coming in and saying, "Stop jacking off," would be pretty appropriate to like a 1950s kid, like British. Or actually, I think it was set in like the 1800s, which there was a brief period in at least American history. I don't know that this traveled across the Atlantic, but where the primary concern of Americans was like, how to get kids to stop jerking off. There's like everyone, like we can't have dance music because the kids are all going to just start jacking off all the time. And then like they invented like cornflakes to like keep kids from jacking off.
The least horniest cereal.
Graham crackers.
America the Beautiful, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true, Jamie. So true.
Try to be more patriotic these days.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it.
Thanks.
And then there's a live Chris Rock special coming from Netflix where they're like, what if you like the stuff that you were seeing on the TV was like actually happening in the moment? Like,
wow.
What if? What if I told you that? But it's called Selective Outrage. It's just the latest Chris Rock hour that Netflix is trying to like turn the whole thing into like a Super Bowl event. There's going to be a pre-show with Leslie Jones and Jerry Seinfeld and also Matthew McConaughey and Paul McCartney for some reason.
What? I was like, I'm in for Leslie Jones, and I think that's it.
Yeah, sure, we're good
maybe,
here.
Maybe Steve drop off after that. I'll give you Leslie Jones and Matthew McConaughey just because I would like to see her make him uncomfortable.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
That I
feel like
handle.
He generally in any room, that would be a great showdown because he generally is like the person who's making people uncomfortable in any room with his just like weird. Yeah. Woody Harrelson stoner redneck energy
and his like vague political aspirations. I think that I really started falling off the McConaughey train when he started having vague political aspirations. I'm like
I feel like his political aspirations were very similar to like Andrew Yang's. Like he could have been a member of the Andrew Yang party where it was like
he could have been Yang
moving forward. We're not doing left or right.
Yeah.
But anyways, the big news, if all of that was not eyeball-grabbing enough for you, it was just reported that Chris Rock will address the Will Smith slap incident for the first time in this special.
Oh my God. How many times do we need to hear about this?
This is according to an anonymous source who I'm having a hard time believing is not a Netflix publicist.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know. I don't know what people think he's going to say, but like that. So like last year he performed the week after the Oscars and tickets were like being sold for over $1,700 because people were like, oh shit, we're going to hear the tea. And then like he didn't mention it because he's a stand-up comedian and not like a fucking town crier who just like comes out and talks about whatever you want him to.
Yeah.
And like fans were like disappointed that he didn't just come out and upend the show. And well, I also don't know what they want him to say, though. It's like such a weird incident that like doesn't make any sense.
Take possible at this point, too.
It's also like about to be the Oscars again.
Yes.
It's been a whole year.
Whole year.
And yet we still haven't healed, you know? America is healing, but I think this is the only thing that can truly heal America is hearing from Chris Rock what he thought it was like when Will Smith slapped him.
Chris Rock was really kind of haunting me yesterday. I don't really know why, but it was, do you remember in Madagascar where his zebra character does a bit where he goes, circus, I don't know why that was on a loop in my head all day yesterday, and I was starting to like dissociate.
I gotta say, the weird thing that was in my head was come loft us up where we belong. Has anyone ever done that, aka like that?
Oh,
just the song come lift us up where we belong, but come loft us up where we belong. I was like,
all right, Zeit gang, get on it.
Get
come
on it, folks.
It's a new month. It's a new world.
Circus. That's pretty fun.
He says it's like circus, afro, polka dot, afro. Nice. I remember it so clearly.
There's some great moments of comedy in hidden in children's films here and there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Fun, bright ones that aren't grim.
I fully believe that Chris Rock just improvised that. And then they had to turn it into the worst. I love when voice artists will like improvise something and then it becomes the worst week of an animator's life because they're like, well, I got to do whatever the fuck that was.
Take this over again.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like the fifth funniest writer from the Harvard Lampoon probably didn't like come up with that while they were writing the script.
No, it's so simple. So beautiful.
Yeah. Too good. All right. Well, Brandy, such a pleasure having you, as always, on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Where can people
find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me in the audience of Will Smith's new Will Smith's new special, Chris Rock's new special, whatever. Will Smith will be there. I hope he shows up and he slaps the whole crew. I hope that's what happens. That would be funny. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brandazzle. I'm at Brandazzle is here on TikTok. I'm trying to post reels and actually do it. Please follow me so I feel like it matters, even though it doesn't. I am actually going to be on tour a bunch later this year. I'm going to be all over the Midwest in April. I'm going to be in Minneapolis, Wisconsin, all over Indiana, Ohio, Pittsburgh, West Virginia. If you live in any of those places, brandyposey.com will have all the tour deets and info. And also, if you use Bands in Town, you can find me and my tour dates on there. My podcast is called Lady to Lady. It comes out every single Wednesday forever. And live in LA, I have a show called Picture This that happens once every 6 weeks. And it's comedians paired up with animators and they draw your jokes during your set. Jamie did it recently and it was really fun.
Best. Yeah. It's my favorite.
Yeah. So yeah, fine. Google me. You'll find me. It's fine.
And is there a tweet or work of media you've been enjoying?
I actually watched, it came out 2 years ago, but I watched the Donut King documentary last night and it was real delightful.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, it's really great. It's about this Cambodian man named Uncle Ted that came over before the Khmer Rouge and basically learned from the donut shops here how to make donuts. And then all of his family came over from Cambodia escaping and they opened all these donut shops all over LA. And it's basically like why we have so many donut shops here is because of this man basically just like giving a bunch of escaped Cambodians an ability to make money and have careers. And like that. They have been so popular. They've kept Dunkin' Donuts out for forever. And they're just these massive. Yeah, they're just, it's like a really beautiful story about why we have like so many Cambodian owned donut shops in Los Angeles. And it's great. So highly recommend.
It's also Jamie Loftus's villain origin story because the fact that there's not a lot of Dunkin' Donuts here.
Dunks was kept at bay. No, I've been meaning to watch that for forever. I'm really excited to see it.
It's really good. There's a few twists in it that you're just like, damn, I didn't expect that to happen. But it's like, it will make you want to eat donuts, which is always great. Yeah. But it's beautiful. It's a great, great little documentary. Hour and a half. Loved it.
There's some content that just like makes me too hungry. Like, there's a podcast, Doughboys, that like I just can't listen to that if I'm like not actively about to like go to a fucking fast food restaurant.
Of course. Yeah.
Very hungry.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Wonderful having you. Where can people find you, follow you? And is there a work of media or tweet that you've been enjoying?
Sure. It has been. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. Instagram, Jamie Christ Superstar. I'll be here all week for crying out loud. Listen to the Bechdel cast. We've got a bunch of fun live episodes coming out soon. We went on tour earlier this year. My website is fucking useless. If you want to know what I was up to in 2019, I guess you could go check it out. It's more of a time capsule than anything else. But I'm going on tour with You're Wrong About for most of the spring and then going on a book tour at the end of the spring for my book Raw Dog, which is about hot dogs, and you should pre-order it. It comes out.
You need to pre-order it right now. If you're listening to this, if you're hearing these words, go pre-order it. You will love it. It's Hell so yeah. good, you guys. Your voice is so like clear. It's like if you've enjoyed a Jamie Loftus podcast before. It is like that in prose form. It's like you immediately became one of my favorite writers. Like it's so good. Everybody needs to go buy it right now.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you read it. We just like released a new cover for it. And I'll offer as my media, because I have already formed an obsessive relationship with Goodreads. The one thing I was told not to do. The book isn't out, but there's like advanced reader copies that have been circulating. And I got this. I wanted to share a little bit of a review that I got from a woman. Would I call her an ally? I guess not.
from a woman named Cheryl. She said, "Unfortunately, I did not see much real humor in this book. I am not familiar with Jamie Loftus' humor, but it seemed like most of what I suppose was intended to be humor was just vitriol from a very unhappy, foul-mouthed lady." The author also brought a lot of sexual innuendo into the book pretty coarsely, while mostly sleeping alone, although traveling with her partner, which got my ass on that one.
Wow.
Damn.
Since Miss Loftus thinks America is such a horrible place, I would like to suggest she take the money she received from this book and relocate, maybe to Russia. I honestly do not understand why she was hired to write this. It could have actually been a fun and informative look at hot dogs. And then she says that she doesn't trust anything I said about history because I'm a socialist. So, amazing. You know, Jack, I'm glad you like the book, but clearly it's not for everybody.
They're not for everyone.
Cheryl.
Like the CIA. Cheryl is clearly the CIA. The CIA pays attention to art, and that feels like the CIA paid somebody to review your book.
Everyone in the CIA's initials are CIA, too, so that makes sense that her name is Cheryl.
Cheryl, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Let's see. A tweet. I guess the media I'm enjoying... Is this lame? I really like Poker Face. Have you guys watched Poker Face?
Oh, I still haven't watched it.
I've watched the first two episodes. I just really like it. I really like Natasha Lyonne. I like Rian Johnson.
He's great.
I'm a basic bitch. I like me some Rian Johnson. So yeah, you can. I feel like people know about Poker Face, but you can see that on Peacock. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, what song do you think people might be enjoying?
So for the listeners, it's already March, but for us on this side of the timeline, it's the last day of February. Yeah, aka Black History Month. And they kind of shortchanged us on the number of days. So I needed to commandeer the 1st of March for this track. This is a song called P's and Q's by Chicago-based artist Mick Jenkins, produced by Kay Trinata. If you love lyricism and some raw emotion in your hip hop, throw this track on. He puts as many words that begin with P and Q in this song as possible. So there's a whole pun going on there, but there's a strong message behind it. It starts off at 10 with the emotion, and it kind of builds up into this nice, really cool thing. And there's some really cool guitars going on behind it. So check out this track. This is called P's and Q's by Mick Jenkins, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
Footnotes? Sweet. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.